Hey everybody, welcome to the Daily Objective. And today we're going to be talking about inspiration. There's a topic that should get you ready for the weekend. So a guy who goes by the name of Jeremy Corbyn. Now, I hardly know who this is, but obviously, you know how Americans can be sometimes when it comes to caring about other countries' politics. He's apparently inspiring a lot of people, right? This is trending all over the social medias. Jeremy Corbyn inspires me. Jeremy Corbyn, such an inspiring figure. So what, why is he inspiring? I suppose it's because he fights for the oppressed. He puts it all on the line to help the downtrodden, or so he would like you to think. So let's talk about inspiration. Does Jeremy Corbyn inspire us? I'm going to say no. Spoiler right there. But then more positively, we have the rest of the remaining time to talk about what does inspire us. By the way, check out our shop, the Ayn Rand Center UK shop, link in the chat room and in the description. You can get special custom merchandise. You'll never believe the Daily Objective related merchandise that is out there. Also, please super chat us to fight the left. Guys, we've got Jeremy Corbyn trending all over the place. If you don't super chat us, the left wins, let's face it. So go ahead and do that. And of course, please consider becoming an Ayn Rand Center UK member to learn a lot more about this philosophy, as well as get exclusive content. And best of all, you get to support this operation. Here with me is a guy who's been very agreeable so far. I've heard him laugh and I've seen him nod his head. Let's find out what inspires him and what he thinks about all of this. The man who has been nicknamed One AirPod Honig. It's Jonathan
I'll
Honig.
take it. Hey, Rucka, great to be with you. And really, hopefully, an inspiring topic for our super chatters. We've already got a lot of people kind of joining us on the super chat. So thank you for that. Push the like button, subscribe. And as you said, toss us a couple of pounds, a couple of dollars, a couple of shekels to help us keep the light on. And you know, this notion of what inspires you, what's inspiring, when you talk to young people today, or you know, I run a scholarship, a foundation in honor of my brother. So I read a lot of essays from young people. And time and time again, I go back to this idea of what I see, and it sounds like Jeremy Corbyn's idea resonates with is altruism. What is seen as being moral, what is seen as being inspirational, is how much you can sacrifice, how much you can sacrifice for someone else. Now, this is so, as I understand it, diametrically opposite of what I understand to be a moral life and an inspiring life. So, you know, I'm excited to talk about it, hopefully contrast our positions. I won't say objectivist positions, I'll just say our positions, maybe with people like Corbyn who dominate the media and cultural landscape, and get into it maybe with some of our super chatters as well. So I have some things that inspire me. I know I want to share, and I know you do as well. And we'll get into some Rand's quotes on these issues, in particular the benevolent versus malevolent universe, which I think has a lot to do with this. So we got a lot to get through, and we'll do it with our super chatters as well.
Sounds good. So I know for me, like music really comes to mind. You know, music, imagine life without it. Imagine who would you be without music? I mean, for some people can live without music. I can't. I mean, to me, like there's no separating me from music, all the music that I've listened to over the course of my life. So music inspires me. The people
Well,
who.
can I jump in? Let me jump in. You know, Rand always talked about the tiddlywink music, or I believe Dr. Peikoff would say that she would kind of conduct it. This was early 20th century, very enthusiastic music. You know, you can search it out. In particular, what type of music really inspires you and why?
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I think I discovered like rock, hard rock when I was, you know, at just that right age where like the excitement of it all and the defiance really spoke to me. So I think that's, I've sort of matured with that. The rock music got more and more complex and more sophisticated as I got older, and to a point where it started to kind of be blended with classical. And I consider myself quite an aficionado of music that features electric guitars.
Well, and you've performed music as well, so you have a
Yeah, and
knowledge of it as a performer.
I mean, there's a lot of genres that I love that I'm for different reasons, you know, like rap to me is it's mood music, it's funny, a lot of it can be, it often should be. So, you know, there's various types of genres of music that I like. And you know, a certain mood like opera, not super knowledgeable about opera, some just plain just classical. There's that. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different music that that shaped me, absolutely shaped me, and continues to motivate me as I think about. You know, I've shared on the show that I'm considering moving out of California, and whenever I visualize myself living somewhere new, the first thought that comes to mind is kind of like, what will it be like listening to music in that new apartment or in that new house or in that city? What music comes to mind when I visualize that city? So music is the soundtrack to our lives.
Yeah, and really prevalent. And I know, as we said, you know, Miss Rand enjoyed music. Dr. Peikoff, even I remember recalled there was an argument about whether or not they should buy a piece of music that was produced in the Soviet Union because, you know, was it essentially aiding and abetting the enemy? And kind of a funny story. You know, I'll share an image and an event that inspired me, Ruck. And I thought a lot about this as, you know, what for me is really inspiring. And for me, I mean, there's a lot, but in particular, it's this unique combination of man achieving in nature, like seeing some achievement. And one thing that to me comes to mind, and I'd really recommend, is a film and an event, but the film is Man on Wire. This was the 1974 incident when a French guy by the name of Philippe Petit, basically after years of planning and scheming, if you will, snuck up to the top of the World Trade Towers. And if you can see, he walked across the World Trade Towers at like 5-6 in the morning. And this was an international sensation. It kind of made all the headlines. And, you know, although it was technically illegal, I always found it tremendously inspiring. Look at his face here on the top picture there. He is conquering nature, not just through his body and his strength, but through his mind and his smarts and enjoying it. So, you know, for me, when I started to introspect a bit about what inspires me, you know, I go to, as you did, artwork on some level, you know, the aesthetics. And Dr. Brooke, Dr. Peikoff, so many have kind of contrasted different types of aesthetics and what inspires us. I mean, here's some of that medieval artwork, right? Dr. Jeroen Brooke always says that he's never seen a smiling saint, which I think is so true. You know, look at this. It's like, oh, you know, they're showing us that life, I mean, this is my off the cuff. They're showing us that like life on earth cannot be achieved by us. We can't win. You know, we're always gonna be, you know, dragging us. And then look, of course, the contrast between the Renaissance, Michelangelo's David. And I know Dr. Peikoff has talked about the dying slave as examples that he likes. So to begin with, my opening salvo, if you will, is like what inspires us is not that altruism, that, you know, what's inspiring about, hey, you just graduated, sacrifice your life for everyone else. What's inspiring is this idea of like, you can succeed in the world. You don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be, you know, a zillionaire, but you can find a place with your own achievement and succeed in your own context. That is, to me, what's inspiring and stories of that ilk.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true about there's, I've never seen a smiling saint.
That's Jeroen's line. And he's so right. You know, he's so right. Cause that's that picture of that. What we'll get into that malevolent universe and what, who can be inspired to in a world where you say, well, you're not going to win. There is no winning. There is no possibility for achievement. So, you know, maybe we'll get into it with some of our super chatters as well as, you know, what is it in particular that is inspiring? You know, is it just an achievement like Evel Knievel? You guys in Europe might not know this. Somebody who does like a, you know, a circus act, for example, is that inspiring or does there have to be something intellectual about it that makes it ultimately more inspiring? So a lot to get into. And thank you, Christopher, for your contribution. Thanks. Sammy is bored? How can that be?
Bored again.
Again and again and again.
And again. It's like day after but, you know, day.
But she keeps tonating, so we'll offer
yeah. Her. Hey, stay bored, I say.
Yeah, she doesn't have a malevolent universe, I'll promise that. So we'll get into other super chatters as well. So what is it? Let's get into it. That is particularly inspiring beyond just a great beat in rock, for example.
Well, you mean beyond just like music, like other things? Or are you asking me to go deeper into music? The question.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, kind of, for me, that inspiration, there has to be like a man's mind at work. So maybe in music, it's like the understanding, the intricacies of how the melody and harmony or the, so what is it in particular you think for you that you find inspiring in the abstract?
I think, great melodies and sort of the way certain vocals kind of blend with the music, sort of, what did Rand say in Romantic Manifesto? She kind of puts a bookmark on music and says, like, we have to get more into this later because it's not like literature, which is like words. You know, it starts with concretes and then you abstract the abstraction from like what's taking place. Or same with the stage play. You start with concretes, you end up realizing the theme. Now, music gets right to your sense of life right away. Like you respond to it a certain way. You respond to music positively or negatively or however you respond to it. And then you kind of can turn it into concretes, I suppose. You can add concretes to the emotional response you have to it. So music is complex. Music is fascinating, and I couldn't live without it. In addition, literature. I mean, I started reading when I was young, when I was a kid. I remember around 8 years old, I started reading, and it definitely shaped me. It definitely set me down a different course. I think, a lot of kids are encouraged to read, but I think in my case, reading definitely fostered my independence, which led to rebellion, which led to me sort of kind of breaking away with sort of the life I was handed and deciding to take charge of things, which, is not going to please everybody. So yeah, definitely reading has been very inspiring. It gives you sort of a visual of kind of like what reality can be or what you can sort of, what type of ideal you can visualize in your mind as you move forward. So reading, definitely literature goes up right up there with music as like things that have inspired me.
I'm glad. Please.
Well, like you mentioned, the man walking on the wire, which is kind of more of a concrete in front of you as opposed to just naming types of art. Yeah, sure. I mean, seeing people accomplish great things, I'm reading about Steve Jobs a little bit right now. I mean, there's a guy who definitely changed not only technology, but kind of the way brands are sold and presented. He changed the way Americans live and therefore the world. The way people think about Apple. I mean, there was a world before Apple, there was a world where products were not branded and marketed the way that Apple is. Steve Jobs and people like him. There's other greats in the world of branding. People like that, they've accomplished magnificent things. They brought into existence a sort of not only products and brands, but like the way that brands became people's religion. Of course, that can be taken to excess in a way that's very unhealthy, but not necessarily so. So piggybacking on those unhappy saints, in a way today, brands and products that they offer us, those brands have become like our kind of religious figures in a sense, but they're here to aid us on the path that we choose as individuals. So again, properly used, these brands can become like a helpful type of source of inspiration and meaning.
Yeah, and thank you, Marilene, for your contribution. She's still kind of commenting on what we talk about music. She says, opera is intense and beautiful. Hard rock is for when I want to punch someone. Scott Joplin is my tiddlywink music. I like Scott Joplin as well. I love much classical and more. So there's so much to enjoy. And you're right, Rucka, that, as I remember from Romantic Manifesto, it was in effect that there's so much more to go. And, Thomas Schoenbaum, I believe, is an objectivist composer, conductor. I believe he's going to be giving a presentation at OCON in Austin. This guy is brilliant. Look him up. He's really helped me understand a little bit about it. And I'm glad you mentioned, or I should say appreciation of some of this classical music. I'm glad you mentioned the reading as well, Ruck. I mean, you're extraordinarily well-read, and you alluded to the fact that there's something you can get inspiration from literature that's unique. And it's not, for me, it's not any literature. I mean, I read Camus. You ever heard of this thing, Camus?
The existentialist?
I thought it was Camus. I mean, it was like a whole year. It's so down. I mean, I was a philosophy major minor in college, and it's like everything we read was, we read a book called Leviathan by a guy named Thomas Hobbes. It just was always like man at the bottom, man struggling, man. And it was uninspiring. And then at some point, somebody plopped this book down on me, and I didn't think about it. I didn't know what philosophy was. It was just a story, and it was an incredibly inspiring story. So, for people kind of new to objectivism, I say don't even worry about presenting any philosophy. Just say this is it's like a comic book, an adventure comic book that reads really fast, and just let them be inspired by the story itself. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it's true that art influences us and kind of redirects our philosophy in ways that most people don't realize. I think one of Ayn Rand's sort of contributions to philosophy itself is to notice and really emphasize the way that art, the role that art plays in shaping philosophy. And it really is the main channel by which philosophy goes from like the university philosophy classroom and out into the culture. It probably passes through the humanities oftentimes. And artists, even artists that never go to school, they are influenced in turn by someone who did go to school. So art is huge in shaping philosophy. However, as an artist, if your goal is to influence people's philosophy, I think you're going to hit a dead end, because it needs to be authentic. You need to really want to create this particular piece of art, because like you visualize it, you want it to exist. It matters to you. It can't be primarily about influencing, or even I don't think it can be primarily about depicting a philosophy. It sort of needs to be at least 50% about the art, the beauty of the art itself, or what it is that you want to create for its own sake. And the sort of the philosophy, I guess, comes with that. And there's a sort of reciprocal relationship. That's the way I see it today. Obviously, this is very advanced stuff, and it's my best sort of understanding of what Rand is offering with her art and philosophy. What came to mind for Mary Aline's super chat when she says rock is for when I want to punch someone is how different types of art can mean something completely different to different people, which is why it's such dangerous waters to be like armchair critics, which we see people doing sometimes, being like, oh, that type of art is nihilistic. That type of art is appropriate. That over there is such and such. I mean, you might read Ayn Rand talking about naturalist literature and say, okay, so this is the official perspective to have on naturalism, and therefore naturalism goes in this category. Maybe that is the best scholarly sort of appraisal of naturalism, but it's quite possible that you read some naturalism at the right time and it came to represent something else to you. And it does inspire you in a way to achieve more in life and to live a certain way. So naturalism, therefore, is not necessarily a bad thing. Similarly with rock music, for instance. So someone from an older generation, to them, rock represents civilization standing on its final leg and it's about to collapse. Like, to them, rock music is kind of the worst of the worst of the worst developments. But to somebody younger who's kind of growing up with it, to them, rock is the last remaining vestige of beauty in a world that is falling apart. And to them, rock is inspiring. And there's so many different examples of this. I was talking to a friend recently. I said, you ever watch Full House, the show Full House? And they said, I hated it. It was just so bland and cookie cutter. And I was like, well, for me growing up in Israel in a very religious bubble, like to me, Full House was like a more beautiful and free world, like a world where like you can have happy, beautiful people living the lives they want. Like, it was anything but bland. It was inspiring as a kid. So, I mean, context is everything, and definitely be careful before wagging your finger at people. That's my only advice.
Yeah. I mean, look, even I hated the hillbilly shows growing up, like the shows that took place on the farm. And the shows that he said, and I even believe my history of Miss Rand's early life is so foggy. But I'd love to hear from like Shoshana Milgram and stuff. I believe that she had magazine pictures and kind of read about America and was excited to see New York City and inspired by it. And that's why for me, and I want to share one more thing if I could. This is a quote from Galt's speech. And I keep telling back to this audition of like, well, what inspires us? And she says, you seek escape from pain. We seek the achievement of happiness. It exists for the sake of avoiding punishment. We exist for the sake of earning rewards. Threats will not make us function. Fear is not our initiative. It's not death what we wish to avoid, but is life that we wish to live. So for me, and I tell you that back to like, let's say Corbin, we start with Corbin. Like Corbin says sacrifice, and that's good. And avoid, don't pursue your own self-interest, and that's good. That's just the opposite of what Galt's talking about. And the same thing, I mean, look, the splotches on the wall, Jackson Pollock type of stuff, like, you know, it's almost to me like avoiding life. You don't even have to portray reality at all. It's just a, it's like a diarrhea on the canvas. So that's that benevolent view I think that objectivism brings that at least inspires me. I mean, calls for self-sacrifice don't inspire me. I have a sense of, well, what about my life? You know, my life's important as well. And I think that's the only individualistic, purposeful way to live, at least that I've found.
Yeah. And I'm not really familiar with Pollock, but it is conceivable that someone's kind of enjoys that his painting for one reason or another. I don't know why, but let's say like it is conceivable. I don't think if that's your only kind of art that you indulge in, I have a feeling that's not going to be enough to really give you the push you need. But like, it is possible for somebody to, let's say, be a fan of Pollock's work, and there's really no shame in that. The only thing you owe anyone, including yourself, is honesty. Like, you need to be honest, yes, with yourself and ask, like, well, what do I get from this, and where can I get more of this feeling or this inspiration? If it is positive, where do I want to go and get it? Or alternately, if this piece of art kind of validates my negativity and validates my you know, dishonesty, or validate, you know, makes me feel complacent, then maybe I want to address that. So yeah, with any art, you know, there's no sense in finger wagging and pearl clutching. We want to we want to look for the positive. Now, that quote from Galt's speech you mentioned, it's like, the more I learn, like the more I kind of circle back to this point, like, yeah, you need to be motivated by something positive. Then I'm like, oh yeah, Rand said that, and I read that,
yeah,
and I agreed with it. But then I feel like I made this observation for the first time. Like, no one's ever discovered this. It's amazing how that works. But yeah,
and you've been studying Rand for years. Isn't that what's so fun about it? We have, you know, some active super chat, and it's, you know, people who are always experts in Ayn Rand's work have like just read one book or one paragraph, and now that they know the whole thing. But, and I know for us, Ruck, I believe it's been a real engaging discovery over many years of learning more and exploring more. And you're right, I don't have a litmus test for art, and I enjoy all different types of art. I just know for me that what I ultimately have found inspiring as my life is, and I'll share it really quickly, is this, what Rand describes as that benevolent universe. She says, we do not think that tragedy is our natural state. We do not live in chronic dread of disaster. We do not expect disaster until we have specific reason to expect it. And when we encounter it, we are free to fight it. It is not happiness, but suffering that we consider unnatural. It is not success, but calamity that we regard as the abnormal exception in human life. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think for me, it's that premise, that benevolent universe premise, which isn't always even easy to have, that I find most inspiring in my world.
Yes. Thank you, Enric, for the $4.99 super chat. He says, Branson, Bezos, and Musk creating space travel. Absolutely. And Mary Aline with the super chat says, honesty is critical with yourself above all. And then, as if that wasn't enough, she added another 99 cents in the super chat and an emoji with sunglasses. Now, think about it, just emojis. I mean, speaking of like art affecting you in ways you don't notice, think of how many times a day, let alone in your life, emojis have affected your discourse with somebody, your conversation via text, or just you look at an emoji and it affects your mood in some subtle way. It's become an indispensable means of communication. I mean, it's amazing what art does without us even noticing. So thank you, Mary Aline, for helping us see that. And all of your continuous super chats, of course, are defeating the left beyond repair. Jeremy hates this. He hates when you people super chat to us. This is what the left can't stand. Thank you all for the support. The quote that we consider suffering unnatural, of course, can be taken the wrong way by a reader. Like, is this meant to be poetic, or is this literally saying that suffering is unnatural, which can lead to kind of a slanted understanding of things, and someone might blame themselves if they're suffering. I think if I had to make my best educated guess, Rand or via John Galt is being poetic, saying suffering is the unnatural thing, meaning it's not the primary. You know, happiness is the sort of you look at monkeys somebody once pointed out to me, monkeys in the wild are never biting their nails. But in the zoo, sometimes they are. Monkeys are biting their nails. Tells you a lot. So, you know, you look at animals in the wild. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't want to be living in the wild, but they don't look, they're in their natural habitat. You know, they're moving around. That's kind of how life ought to be. And our natural habitat, I think, is in surrounded by technology that someone has brought or sold to us or that we've built, and achieving our values and attaining an underlying state of happiness. That is our natural habitat. So it's not like a lot of people seem to think, and this obviously comes from the university classrooms, you know, at the end of the day, and travels via the arts, probably.
But interesting, Ruck, I mean, so many young people, they see, for example, as you said, the technology around them, they've got it all over them, but they still can't feel they're not inspired because of exactly what Corbyn and many on the left and even some of the right preach, is that self-sacrifice, that complete self-sacrifice of your own life and hatred of the good for being the good. And so much of what Rand talked about decade and decade before. I'd love to see Razi, Yaron Brook, some great intellectuals give commencement addresses, all over the country. That would be an inspiring message for young people, not this get out there. You know, it's like you spend $100,000 on a degree, now go work for the Peace Corps for 10 years.
No, I mean, look, it is conceivable that someone does Peace Corps and they learn things about themselves and it ends up being a net positive, but I'd rather they get that message in the private sector building something and not just going around spending other people's money on pretending to alleviate the suffering of non-capitalist countries or people in those countries. But a lot more we can say about the Peace Corps. I second your desire to see Razi deliver a commencement speech. And you know, look, and telling people get out there and live the best life you can. It's a beautiful thing to say. We also, it's indispensable that it needs to be clarified. Like technology is not a violation, a negation of reality. Like technology, is not cheating. Money is not some unnatural phenomenon someone came up with to trick people. These things have a referent in reality. Technology, money, capitalism, the pursuit of happiness. These are things that life requires. These are magnificent discoveries of...
They're achievements.
Achievements, technology. Yeah. I mean, but because people have been sort of subconsciously or even consciously trained to see these things as unnatural, then anyone who has money should be looking for way for someone to hand it over to. Like, oh, if that person's suffering, hand it over to them. I need to suffer a bit more so we can be more even. You know, I have technology. Well, okay, but I'd better use it to find out who needs something, and rather than employing that person, give them something. Philosophy is everywhere.
We're going to move to Clubhouse and know very quickly. My final 2 cents is something that really inspires me, is what Dr. Brook often says, Dr. Yaron Brook, that in effect, every moment of your life is precious. You're never going to get it back. And when you start thinking like that and how finite life is, that's inspiring to me to really want to make the most of it. And certainly objectivism, all the work the Ayn Rand Center UK is doing is a big part of it as well. Who's that?
And speaking of inspiration, look over there. Does this guy not look,
or
does this girl not look like the Dogecoin puppy? Sort of. Totally. She won't look at like where she won't do what I'm telling. So if you support if you support this dog, please super chat us immediately. That's just one final item of inspiration I wanted to offer you. That is not my dog, but I'm honored to be in her presence for this episode. Coming up today, we've got TV Talk with Mark Pellegrino, Jax Schumann, and Jennifer Bouyaye. It's a cool name, but I can't pronounce it currently. Personally speaking, this is my favorite show on the network possibly right now. It's like, there's so many podcasts out there of people talking about TV, talking about music that have never done it in their lives, and they're critics. So you get what you get from them. However, these people are in the business. These are people in the business. So trust me, it's interesting. Trust me on that. That's coming up today at 10 p.m. UK time, which is 5 Eastern. They're going to be contrasting Atlas Shrugged with another TV show. This week, it's Russian Doll. I've been watching it all week to prepare me for this. So not only will you get exposed to interesting new shows that have been out there, But also, you're going to hear people in the TV business talk about these shows and kind of contrast it and compare it with the artistic and various aspects of Atlas Shrugged, which they're incidentally working on the TV adaptation of. So guys, this is historical. You cannot miss this. Believe me. Thank you, Sammy is Bored Again, for the 99 pence and a picture of a dog. See guys, the left has been defeated for now. I guess we'll jump over to Clubhouse. What do you think of that?
Let's do it. See you there.
All right. Thank you all. See you back on Monday for the Daily Objective. Goodbye.